What is up, everybody, and welcome to the Tailgate. This is Tailgate Talks, and we are recording on Wednesday night, December 18th, a week before Christmas, and this is episode 245. For Texas Tech, it's been Christmas this past few days, as it's been a Cody Campbell Christmas for Red Raider Nation. We've got a lot of transfer portal to discuss. We now know our bowl game and opponent, so we'll have to discuss that for a little bit. We're not going to do our predictions or anything. We might be able to record before the game next week, so we won't do that. Just kind of our thoughts on the game. A little touch up on basketball since we've last caught up with you guys. We've played Texas A&M and Oral Roberts last night. So fun episode for you guys. So let's go.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go.
Well, Dustin, the football season might be over as we wait for a bowl game. It's, you know, that kind of slow time of year for football, but the transfer portal season has changed the month of December now with transfer portal entries and people committing. And well, Joey McGuire must have been a very good boy this season, because Santa Claus, aka Cody Campbell, has been helping him out, giving him lots of toys and goodies, and by toys and goodies, top portal additions left and right for the Red Raiders. Feels like every day we're seeing mood times 10, mood times 12, mood times 13. Joey McGuire, his bat signal tweets, we're seeing commits left and right to this Red Raider football team. We're seeing fan bases from all over the country getting mad at wired guys going to Texas Tech. We're seeing Red Raider Nation celebrating with double eagle tweets and I will hashtags and t-shirts. It's been chaotic. So Dustin, your thoughts right now on what has been incredibly hot transfer portal season for the Red Raiders?
Yeah, chaotic is right. Like, I can't keep up every day, every hour with the guys on campus and the commits coming in. I mean, we were texting earlier today, and as we're talking, another one just comes down the line. Yeah. And we're like, oh, yeah, he's in town. Oh, yeah, he's ours. And there it goes.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm literally texting, like, waiting for the North Carolina offensive lineman to commit. And then 2 minutes later, we got him. It's just, yeah, and crazy.
The other thing you said was like, these are high quality toys that we are getting. These are not average dudes from average teams that are also like decent or whatever. No, these are really good all conference type dudes from their teams. Some of them that you've played recently.
Yeah.
And in your conference. And yeah, it's incredible. I mean, On3 can't even keep up their team rankings.
Yeah.
They're up to date right now, but as stuff comes through, they can't keep up either. And like, the quality is so high. I mean, you're taking almost whoever you want. And that's the incredible thing of it, is it's anytime a guy goes in the portal and it's like 24 hours later, there's like a prediction that he goes to Texas Tech. And we're like, what?
Some guys are getting predictions like right after they hit the portal, like the Georgia Tech guy. He hasn't committed yet, but as soon as he hit the portal, like an hour later, there was a crystal ball for Texas Tech. You're just like,
it's incredible. This must be what like Georgia and those Bama teams during recruiting days felt like just getting 4 and 5 stars left and right and whoever you wanted type deal. Like it's incredible. And now we got to use it and coach it up.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Like, if you win a national championship in the offseason, we would be winning that national championship right now. Like, we'd be the one seed in the offseason.
We're not done either. Yeah. That's the crazy thing.
We'd be the one seed in the college football offseason playoff right now. But, yeah, it's just really exciting. I think there was a lot of frustrations this during this season with kind of how things went. You had an easier schedule. You did go 8-4, so things are kind of looking right. But you knew the offensive line, the defensive line, the two kind of main things needed to get fixed. And Cody Campbell, the now famous tweet, said, "I will." And he has followed up with that by just going out there and getting key pieces to add to this team. Like, it's just kind of ridiculous to watch. It's exciting. It's, you know, as good of a transfer class as Texas Tech will ever be able to pull in. I mean, that's just the start. Apparently, you need to piss Cody Campbell off every year. So, for him to
just for like a on three like team transfer portal reference. And I don't know what this index score means. Like maybe like how your improvements are basically. Last year we were 25th in the country with the index score of 14. So I guess plus 14. And this year we're obviously number one with an index score of 60.
Yeah.
And Ole Miss is 2 at 39. Kansas is 24. And everybody else is in the teens. Like, that's how much more you have coming in.
Yeah, your production that you're bringing in is totally outweighing the production that you're losing out of the portal. And we'll get into one of the key losses in that. But you're just bringing in a bunch of dudes with a bunch of experience. It's kind of like what's been your basketball model in bringing transfers in. It's like guys who've had success, guys who've played a lot, guys with lots of experience. You're bringing in lots of guys who have played a lot of football. You're bringing in some young guys as well with eligibility who've been highly rated, you know, high school players who've come on. And you expect them to kind of do, Darian Williams type things for you on the football field. So it's just a very versatile class with guys kind of all over. You knew what you needed to get going into the offseason. You needed to beef up on the lines, offense and defense. You've hit both of those really hard. You got some other key pieces. You know you needed to retool the secondary with how bad the secondary was. You've been hitting on that. You needed another receiver. You've been able to do that. You need a tight end to replace Conyers and Tharp, and you've been able to do that. It's just like everything on our wish list going in to the offseason, you've been able to knock it out of the park on. And you're not, like you said, you're not just getting players to come in, fill roles. Like, these are highly sought after guys. And you know, in some cases, guys from Houston, guys from UCF, interconference transfers. You know, some of these smaller school guys are getting recruited by all these big schools. You're stealing dudes from Florida State. You got Florida State fans mad. Like, what is this?
You get Florida State mad that guys aren't even coming to take visits anymore.
Yeah.
And like, that's the other key thing is we've been getting guys to come take visits and basically they don't leave.
Yeah. That's the motto besides Cody Campbell and Double Eagle doing their work. The motto of this transfer portal is don't let them leave Lubbock, because when they get in for visits, they are committing. And it's just crazy. It's a lot of fun. I'm excited. I almost get on Twitter now just expecting there to be a new commit announcement. If a guy hits the portal and he doesn't get a crystal ball for Tech, I just assume he sucks. I'm like, he must not be that good if we're not interested in him. Like, it's just kind of changed my mentality in the transfer portal. I think I just kind of, we've seen the portal the last few years with football, and it's not been something that we've taken very seriously. Like, we get our transfers here and there. Josh Kelly, Jalen Conyers, a couple offensive linemen guys that we've gotten. Like, we've hit the portal. It's nothing against that. Just like seems like our hit rate on them aren't very high. The quality on them, maybe one or two weren't very good. Some of your offensive line guys didn't really pan out the way you wanted them to. No. So seems like we're just going overkill this time. It's like, all right, well, we've got to get better. We know what we need to do. You have an opportunity here to compete for a Big 12 championship. The playoff is a realistic opportunity if you can just look at Arizona State and what they did, and they made the college football playoff. Like, there's a real chance that you can do some damage here. And if you get the right players, like, you could pull off an Indiana type season next year and find yourself in the college football playoff. And so, hats off to Joey, Cody, the football staff, the new offensive and defensive coordinators for doing this. Yeah. But let's,
that's the other thing is, like, you went through a double coordinator change, and that's not affecting any of this.
Yeah.
How do if you anything, get the... it's amped it up because you stole a couple of Houston guys.
Yeah, like, you've been able to poach. What do you think about the players, like, currently on the roster here, especially on the defensive side of the ball? Yeah. I saw several of them, like, tweeting out stuff today, kind of cryptic, wasn't sure what it means. But what are your thoughts on how they're kind of processing this retool of the lineup? Because I'm on the side of just like, y'all sucked last year. Besides Jacob Rodriguez, like everybody's job is up for grabs, I think.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you can see that. I know Mo Horn is one of those people that, you know, posted a highlight video with a little shrug emoji and, you know, just kind of ... type thing. But it's like, you were okay at best. Like, yeah, everybody's job's up for grabs. We're going to get veterans that can start and play and make plays. Like, this isn't the day and age anymore that you have to wait on a recruiting class from 4 years ago to develop and figure it out. Like, do you want some of those guys still? Yeah, but that's only a small piece of it anymore. And especially now, before there's a cap on this thing in a year, like, Cody and Joey aren't messing around with it. And if you want to stick it out and try to get better and compete for those jobs, great.
Yeah.
If you want to go find a new home, good luck, because your tape from last year is not that good.
Yeah. You're not going to really upgrade, I think. like, look at Jalen Peoples. I think I saw his, like, teams that are interested in him. Yeah. And there's, like, maybe one or two P4 programs, but they're not, like, good programs. It's a bunch of smaller schools. Like, that's what a lot of them are going to have to do. I think, like, I don't know. This day and age, like, pisses me off by players. You know, if I'm not going to get my playing time, if I have to compete for a job, I'm just going to leave. Like, this is an ideal scenario as a competitor. Mm-hmm. You got a bunch of talent coming in. You're going to have roster depth. If you stay and are focused and commit to what the brand is, like, this is awesome. I'm going to have other guys who can play and are going to challenge me to get better, because I want to beat them out and be a starter. You know, I want to get playing time over these guys. And so it should. Your depth is definitely going to be increased for next year already.
Yes.
You know, we haven't even got into the players yet. We've just been talking about it. So let's kind of like get into those players and see what the guys that we've got coming in next year to be a Red Raiders and help us try to make a push to go win a Big 12 title. Offensively, you got Mitch Griffiths, a quarterback from Wake Forest. This one kind of flew on the radar, kind of was quiet. I don't think anybody knew about it, but something that you need now is like some quarterback depth. Barron is not playing in the bowl game because he's having shoulder surgery. You've got Will Hammond, Jake Strong is transferring. Cam Brown is transferring. You've got Lloyd Jones coming in as a freshman next year. He's hurt. So you don't really have like quarterback depth. You need some guys with that experience. So I think it's a decent pickup. I would hope that you're not seeing Griffiths play, but you need some arms, especially for practice and spring and fall camp to quarterbacks that throw the ball. Wide receiver, probably one of your biggest gets of the portal season so far. Wide receiver Reggie Virgil from Miami, Ohio. He had some impressive stats last year. He was averaging like 20 yards a carry, 40 catches for like 800 something yards, 9 touchdowns. Yeah. A lengthy receiver who looks very talented, who's going to come in and be a really good wide receiver for you to add to a group of really good receivers already. Tight end Terrence Carter, one of the top tight ends in the portal from Louisiana, comes into Lubbock. And then offensive line, you've gotten 3 commits so far. Hunter Zambrano, one of the top O linemen in the transfer portal from Illinois State. Will Jados from Miami, Ohio. And then the one that was announced this afternoon, Howard Sampson, big boy from North Carolina, one of those transfers that you were crystal balled pretty quickly on. And so those are your offensive transfer guys so far. Any guys that really could just kind of stick out to you, and what do you think about this group that we've pulled in so far?
Yeah, good breakdown there. Yeah, just to kind of quick hit almost all of them. Yeah, the Griffiths one, like you said, we have one quarterback that's going to be playing in the spring.
Yeah.
Like, Hammond's all we got going into the spring. We have guys getting healthy, getting injured. And so we kind of need them for that and the depth piece. And let's not forget our history of quarterback injuries. Just because we got lucky this year doesn't mean we're going to do it 2 years in a row.
Broken just yet.
So it's good to get a veteran type dude in there. Yeah. Reggie Virgil last week when he committed, like, that was my first, like, big one that we got, because yeah, his stats are incredible with only like 40 some catches to also have 20 yards per reception and a 20% touchdown rate. Like, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Pretty good.
I think Leftwich will like having a guy to stretch the field, and, you know, putting him with the guys we had last year, they're going to stick around, should do very well in this kind of offense.
Yeah, that works great with having Caleb Douglas, who's another right. stretch the field kind of guy, but he was really your only stretch the field threat last
and we
year.
We really do that anyways.
Yeah, we hit him on some, but I think, like, yeah, you're definitely going to have multiple guys that you feel confident with that. That's a big piece.
Yeah, Terrence Carter at tight end, that was a big get because obviously we're going to lose our two starting tight ends to the NFL. I mean, that's pretty good, but needed to fill that role, and he's a top five tight end in the portal. A lot of teams wanted him, Houston, Florida State, and so to get a guy that had a pretty good breakout season at Louisiana should be another great weapon in that offense. And then, yeah, where you really needed to beef up this team was the O-line, and you didn't go get, you know, the Mac player, like a good just like Mac type O-lineman. Yeah. You got really, really good tight end, or I keep looking at tight end, O-lineman. I mean, Howard Sampson that we got today from North Carolina, he's just a massive individual. He's
6'8", 325 pounds.
So big. So big. I think it's actually he's your starting left tackle. God damn. Like, so big. And all these guys have a lot of starts, too, in games. Like, you're not getting sophomores or freshmen that have, you know, plenty of time. You're getting guys that have played. The Illinois State guy was really good. Zambrano, I think he's one of the top interior O-linemen in this.
Yeah, at the time he committed, he was the number one interior O-lineman in the portal.
And he was hurt last year, but yeah, a lot of teams really, really wanted him. And same with Will Jados from Miami, Ohio. You know, so taking two guys from that really explosive Miami, Ohio team in offense to come over. So definitely beefed up your line. And not to mention, like, to go with Vinny Scurry, who barely played and was sticking around from last year's team. So, those four, those linemen, like, revamp is crazy, crazy good and massive. Like, very excited for that.
And you're still in on a five-star freshman kid who's down to us in Michigan, and the, you know, people feel pretty good about that. So that, you know, another potential guy. Yeah, you definitely, like, the O-line is going to be the big thing next year. If you're going to want to take it to that next level, like, you've got to improve there. And I think, like, these are key pieces for that. Jadis was the one to me that I'm not really sure if he's a starter or if he's a depth piece, but you need depth there. And so what if he ends up being a starter for you? That's awesome. That's great. If he ends up being a depth piece for you, that's awesome too, because you are going to need it. Like, just offensive linemen get hurt and go down, and you're going to need to be, you know, 6, 7, maybe 8 guys deep there, and feel comfortable with that. And so big pickups all on the offensive side. I think, like, what you're waiting for offensively here would be a running back.
Yeah.
We're in talks with Quentin Joyner, a transfer from USC. Yes. South California, Southern California. You're in talks with him. You seems like we feel good about that. He went to school at Maynard, Taj Brooks's high school. Taj Brooks has been apparently a big factor in this recruiting. He's here in Lubbock right now as we speak. So if the trend of keeping them in Lubbock stays true, he could be a Red Raider. But I think that's, like, the main final piece for the offense is probably running back. Maybe one more wide receiver, maybe another offensive line depth piece is kind of where I would look. But running back right now is the top priority, and then maybe a wide receiver, depending on what happens with your receivers right now, if anybody leaves or what.
Yeah, glad you brought running back up, because to go with the O-line, not to put a damper on, you know, this year, last year, whatever, but what if we would have bought Taj Brooks this O-line? last year, like, what could he have done?
Golly, he'd have had Ashton Jeanty numbers if he had a better offensive line. Maybe not as good as Jeanty's, because he's playing actual real defenses, but Yeah, that would have been nice. Yeah. It would have been nice to capitalize what you had, Taj.
Yeah, it seems like running back's kind of all we need left on that side for sure.
Yeah, and so keep an eye on that. Who knows? We might get a mood times 14 and a commitment here soon. Who knows? I mean, maybe he's already committed. We'll see. The defensive side of the ball, that's where you've been really cashing in this portal season. Up front, you got transfer Skylar Gil Howard from Northern Illinois. You got Lee Hunter from UCF, interconference transfer. Today, Anthony Holmes from Houston, three big boys up front. Let's just kind of go through position by position here while we go through these guys. What are your thoughts on adding these big boys up to the defensive lineman? And something that's much needed, as you were really struggling on that front. Injuries didn't help, but you definitely needed to beef up. You got some big boys on that line and guys with Big 12 conference experience who were, I think, three of the best interior defensive tackles in the conference this last year, and now they are Red Raiders.
Yeah, the fact that you got just one of these guys is good. You got three of them is incredible. And yeah, like, again, the quality of these linemen that you brought in, by far your weakest spot, even though talked trash about the secondary a minute ago, but your D line was crazy bad last year as well. And also got injured a lot. That's kind of what contributed to that. So adding depth and high quality depth. Yeah, I mean, Lee Hunter was a second team.
Yep.
All Big 12 kind of guy. Skylar Howard's really good. And then I like bringing over the Houston guy to go with our DC from Houston. He was really productive in Wood's system last year as well. So, like, the fact that you now have, like, all conference dudes that you can rotate is crazy.
Yeah. And then to go with some, you know, young pieces that you did like, for your team. I just unfortunate that guys got, injured this last year, but yeah, ultimately, like, really good pieces that you're adding. You want some depth, you want some big guys, you know. Lee Hunter looks like a massive human being that is going to be able to.
I also
to
just love his name, Lee Hunter.
Yeah. Lee Hunter, Skylar Gil Howard, Anthony Holmes. Those guys sound like all conference type DTs. So
yeah,
those have been huge portal additions for you. Like we said, OLDL were the two main targets, and you've got three really good pieces for both. Secondary is the second point of emphasis behind those, and they've made a big change back there, bringing in a lot of new faces at cornerback. You got Dante Balfour, transfer from Charlotte. You got Bryce Pollock, a transfer from Mississippi State. Amir Boyd Matthews, a transfer from UTEP. Tarian Grant, a commit today. He was a five-star when he was coming out of high school, committed to Purdue, and now transfers here to Texas Tech. And then one of the early commits in the portal season, safety Cole Wisniewski from North Dakota State. So five new faces that you're bringing into the secondary here, a secondary that really struggled. Really good, interesting pieces, guys who put up a lot of stats, or I would say didn't put up a whole lot of stats, because it didn't seem like guys were throwing the ball to them a whole lot. And so that's kind of numbers that you like to see from cornerbacks, especially, is like they weren't having to do too much because quarterbacks were staying away from them. What are your thoughts on these pieces that are added to a much needed revamped secondary?
Yeah, it's crazy bringing this many guys in similar positions in that are supposed to be really good. I mean, Bryce Pollock's a SEC really productive corner. Like you said, Tarion Grant's coming five-star, and Purdue has a really good Big Ten defense. I've heard good things about Dante Balfour, even though he's ranked a little lower. He's like a gym type dude that probably should have went power four last year.
Yeah, lengthy dude too. Yep. Like, all these guys are big, like big corners.
And then, yeah, like the safety we got from North Dakota State. He has great film and was hurt last year as well, but was a all SEC or FCS type player two years ago. And so really good mixing those lengthy guys with that D line and rush we should be getting next year finally. And maybe a more aggressive kind of D coordinator that seems like we're bringing in. to be a great mix of everything to go around. And honestly, the most I'm excited for is for Jacob Rodriguez to have these pieces by him.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll make him an even better player when you've got cornerbacks and a secondary that can contain, and you've got guys who can help put pressure on the quarterback and not just have to rely on Jacob Rodriguez and every now and then Mikkel Dingle to come in and get pressure on the quarterback. Like, this is so much needed. And yeah, after you have a year like you did in the secondary, like, you needed to get new faces, kind of like your wide receiver group the year before. It was like,
right,
your wide receiver
exactly
so
right.
bad. You needed to revamp that group. You needed to revamp the secondary. You needed to find some guys. And I like what you've done. You've got guys with a lot of experience, and you got some younger guys who, you know, have experience, but looking for new homes and a chance to really shine in a defense that I think is going to make a huge leap forward with these pieces that you got. It's just crazy that
you're not going to be ranked 120th next year.
I would hope not. I would definitely hope not. I would think that's a safe bet to make. But yeah, going through all those guys, just what are you thinking about after going through the list of those names and all the positions that are filled?
Yeah, I mean, we've hit it a couple times. I'm just really glad that we dove really deep into the three position needs we needed.
Yeah,
the secondary and then both lines. I mean, Joey's been talking for 3 years now about beefing up the O-line and D-line. It's O-line, D-line. Like, he's been talking about it for years and years and couldn't get his guys developed. And then injuries for the last, like, you know, year or two, especially on the O-line. But, like, now you got very high-quality dudes, and it's going to be fun to see. And, yeah, now you got to put some pressure on these coaches to – make it fit, make it happen. Keep them at a high level now that they're getting paid is also a small worry. You know, I mean, I know they still are, like, trying to get to the NFL is their end goal, but it's a little different when you guys are already getting paid, and do they slack off a little bit? Maybe that's also why we're bringing in so many pieces at these positions to keep them on edge a little bit. So yeah, I love it. It's incredible. I still can't believe it, what we're doing.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking just to see it. And I'm enjoying every minute of it. I really like bringing in more competition. I think you're at a point with this coaching staff where it's like, it's time to show what we can do. And to see the motivation of, all right, let's bring in these dudes and let's make a run for it here. I'm really excited for it. It's just, now can we back it up? You know, I love winning in the off season. It's great to get all these players in here, but I want to win in the regular season. That's where it needs to happen the most. I love these days. It's been a lot of fun to celebrate with Red Raider fans across the nation. Every time we get these recruits, it's really fun, but I want to be able to celebrate in September, October, and November and really make a run. And it seems like we're doing everything necessary. Now we just got to see the product on the field, and so that's what we're all hoping for. And I definitely think you're trending in the right direction here with that and with these pieces that you're adding. And like you said earlier, we're still not done yet either. And so no telling how many more guys we're going to add. If guys and pieces that are available fit into what Joey and this coaching staff has the vision for, I would imagine you're probably going to get a few more guys and trim the fat on, you know, some of these players who, all right, it's been 2-3 years. You haven't developed. They might be signing off and hitting the portal themselves. So that's all of our new additions so far as we record here tonight on Wednesday night. There might be more before this episode's posted. So if anybody else announces a commit after this, just know that. The main transfer out, there's been a couple other guys. Trevon McAlpine announced his entry into the portal today. I haven't seen any players really commit just yet, but the big one, Michael Hudson, did commit to Texas A&M. Any thoughts on that now that it's officially in the history books? So his time in his Red Raider career is over.
Yeah, in the history books, done deal, good riddance type deal. And I mean, I'm kind of glad he didn't go to Texas, at least. So there's that. A&M, great. He can go to A&M and be on another 8-4 team next year, probably.
Yeah.
And get paid whatever you're getting paid. But yeah, I'm not sad we lost him from things I've heard and how he was around the building. Didn't produce on the field at all, so couldn't get himself on the field either. So yeah, not sad about it. And so we are by far moving on and not looking back from him.
Yeah, I think I expressed a lot of displeasure at his announcement that he was headed to the portal. But yeah, my perspective on that's changed a little bit. I think, like, when you lose him, like, I definitely wanted to see his career blossom and be a factor here at Texas Tech. It would have been awesome.
Yeah.
But you know, it's in the past. It's happened. You know, both sides, I think, kind of fumbled this one up. The more you hear about it, you know, it's not like our coaching staff was the only one to blame. Definitely felt like Micah really had a foot out the door already. And he could have done a better job at that. Coaching staff could have maybe done a better job as well. But I definitely wasn't expecting this portal cycle that's happened. And so that's definitely got me, you know, not really even thinking about him and that anymore. And cool, he can go do his thing at A&M and play with a team that has a pretty terrible passing offense and try to figure out if he can make numbers there. But I'm excited with what we've been able to do. And Cody Campbell saying I will and following through with those words. And so, like, yeah, well, I was a little skeptical of what that was going to be like. And now that I see what it is, definitely okay with how everything has played out. So we move on, and we move on with Reggie Virgil now as one of our top receivers, Caleb Douglas, Coy Aiken. And we'll see what these wide receivers do for us next year. And if we have another wide receiver addition to the portal still. But that's our Texas Tech portal discussion for today. We do have a bowl game announcement. Since the last time we spoke, the Red Raiders will be heading to Memphis to play in a stadium that is being constructed, to where half the stadium is just not there. And of course, it's on the side that the Texas Tech and the Big 12 was assigned to. But Red Raiders in the Liberty Bowl again, this time facing off with a familiar foe that we've seen here in the last decade or so, the Arkansas Razorbacks, as they get set to face off. Last time we were in the Liberty Bowl, things worked out pretty well for you. You beat Mississippi State. That was when Joey was on his way and already starting to recruit. Now you head back to the Liberty Bowl. Your thoughts on Texas Tech playing in the Liberty Bowl yet again and the matchup with Arkansas on December 27th.
Yeah, I mean, you said we kind of just in the Liberty Bowl a few years ago, so that's not that exciting.
Yeah.
I guess exciting is what kind of Arkansas team we're going to see, because they have a ton of dudes in the portal. Yeah. Over 20. I tried to count earlier and kind of lost count. They might be up in the 30 area now. And so what kind of team they have out there, what kind of depth they have, is not going to be much, so yeah, that'll be interesting. You still have most of your team and starters at least intact. Maybe a couple very deep depth pieces you got to fix, but that's about it. And so the quarterback question is the other kind of story, is Will Hammond's going to get to start and technically don't have a backup, I guess.
Jalen Conyers.
I'm hoping Jake Strong sticks around for another couple weeks and is there. That would make me feel better. But yeah, Conyers is probably your backup quarterback. So that part's fun as well. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to get to see Will Hammond get the starting nod and see what he does with it. But yeah, to me, you know, bowl games just are getting less and less interesting.
Yeah.
Now with the transfer portal players leaving left and right, get a middling SEC team that you're facing that doesn't bring a whole lot of excitement to me. If we were in like the Pop-Tarts Bowl or something, I think that would make it a little bit more exciting than this. But it is an opportunity to get to see some of the younger players play, like Will Hammond. Josh Kelly is not playing in this game, so get to see some of your other kind of young receivers step up. And see what they look like. It's an opportunity for some of the guys who haven't played this year to get a play without burning a red shirt or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I like that opportunity. And so You know, it's always another game to watch. So we'll of course be tuned in on the 27th, but you know, to me, it's just kind of meh. But you know, we're still a team that has made the most bowl games out of all the Big 12 teams currently. And so it's exciting to add another one to that notch and see if we can go out there and keep our bowl winning streak going, next week. And so we'll be, hopefully maybe we can record a short little episode before that game to do our predictions and everything like that. But, that'll do it for our Texas Tech football talk for the week. It's time to shift over to Texas Tech basketball and talk about Grant McCaslin and the Red Raider basketball team. Let's play some basketball! All right. Well, since the last time we have spoke to you guys, the Red Raiders have played a couple more basketball games, only two over that span. It seems like every other college basketball team in the country is playing like 2-3 games a week, yet the Red Raiders have only played two games in the last 2 weeks. Unfortunate loss to the Texas A&M Aggies in a rivalry renewed matchup in Fort Worth. Fell short 72-67. JT Toppin has not yet gotten back from his lower leg injury. Red Raiders early on this season having troubles staying healthy. And that's kind of been one of the disappointing things is you haven't really got to see the team that you thought you were going to get to see really at its full health just yet. But it was a bit of a frustrating loss to the Aggies. You started off slow, fought yourselves back, got the lead, and then just kind of failed to hold on to the lead. A&M took the lead and was able to hold on to it as you couldn't do anything in the paint. Had to settle for jacking up a bunch of threes. Chance had 23 points, was 5 or 10 from 3-point land. Kevin Overton had a huge first half for you. He had 17 points in the first half. Really kind of was the only reason you were in that game in the first half. You gave up 18 offensive rebounds, and you had 18 turnovers. Any thoughts from the A&M game that was a bit of a frustration for the Red Raiders?
Yes, a little frustrating, but yeah, I didn't get to watch the whole thing, but the rebounds doesn't really scare me just because, yeah, you were missing Toppin.
Yeah.
And A&M, the last, like, 3 years has been one of the best rebounding and offensive rebounding teams in the country. So Buzz Williams and his coaching staff really preach that, and they're doing that again this year. So they knew they could get you on that. The other kind of worrisome thing on that was – the last 11 minutes, we didn't shoot a 2-point field goal.
Yeah.
We shot only 3-pointers and some free throws. So, didn't like the offense there for what you would consider the entire fourth quarter. No. So, that's where it's kind of worrisome. The fact that you kept it this close and it was a possession game down the stretch there makes you feel not so bad. I mean, a loss is a loss, but still some – I think with the offensive little worries there I just talked about and then not having Toppin, because he would also help fix that, you know, some inside the paint moves and whatnot. And so you fix a lot of this with having obviously your best player and one of the best in the conference.
Yeah, that's where like a lot of my concerns from this game aren't like I'm not hitting the panic button or anything like that. Like you lost by 5 to a good A&M team who's kind of starting to figure it out, who went and beat Purdue this last week. So to be within a possession, like you said, and be in the fight in this game, despite not having your best player, despite not really having that good of a Darian Williams game, getting the performance that you did from Kevin Overton, Chance McMillan kind of being that guy that you could rely on. Like I thought there was a lot of positive things to take from this game. So awfully some frustrations. Like I do think the offense will get fixed with Toppin and you have an inside threat like Federico is not an inside threat. Emily Yalahu is not an inside threat for you. So like the only inside threat you have besides them is really Darian Williams. And they just kind of took him out of the game and he wasn't ever able to get comfortable for you. The concerning thing to me is really the turnovers. The turnovers were horrible in this game. A lot of bad turnovers. Elijah Hawkins was awful, I thought, in this game, which was highly concerning. I thought he just like sometimes I have no idea what he's doing, trying to force terrible passes. Like they're not even like good decisions right now. He just seems like he's doing way too much. He needs to kind of slow down, let the game come to him a little bit more. So that's been frustrating. I thought, you know, Christian Anderson, I've really enjoyed him so far this season. I think this was the first game where A&M took advantage of his size. And you kind of saw him struggle with that. And so he's obviously going to get better as the season goes on and as he gets used to bigger teams, better teams kind of attacking him. But I definitely thought defensively him and Hawkins were kind of getting picked on with their size. And I thought Hawkins was just pretty bad offensively for you and turning the ball over. Darian Williams turned the ball over a whole lot. And so cleaning up that end is going to be a big thing for the Red Raiders move forward is take care of the basketball. I think the rebounds will get fixed with Toppin coming back. Hopefully, the offense will look better when you have a guy who can go put up 20 points any given night back on the court. And so, I expect better things from the Red Raiders. And you know, it's nothing to panic about. Last year, we lost to Villanova and Butler. We lost two games in the non-con, and then went on and had a great conference season. Like, you obviously wish that you had better non-con opponents to maybe have a couple better wins notched up, but Big 12 gives you several opportunities. And then they did bounce back with a big win over Oral Roberts, an 86-50 win over Oral Roberts on Monday night. And so that one, you got to see the Fetty game, the Fetty times two game. That's kind of like the really only thing I really want to talk about from this game. Not much to take back, but Fetty, 23 points, career high, and 12 boards. I thought he was awesome.
Yeah, it was kind of incredible to watch Fetty just keep going. Like, we were just expecting a little bit from him, and like him and Emily kind of have to piece together the middle, and then he went off and kept going off. And it was crazy. He was rebounding very well also, and he had an amazing game. So very, very happy for Fetty. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, I didn't ever have a 23-point game leading scorer, Fetty. I didn't have that on my bingo card for the Red Raiders entirety of the season. But yeah, it's fun to watch. Like, if there's a silver lining to the top and injury, it's that I think Fetty's getting a little bit more comfortable with his role and kind of starting to figure some things out. I thought he had a pretty solid A&M game. You'd like to see him clean up some boards a little bit better, but he was doing some stuff offensively, defensively for you in that game, and I think like he just got better. He's getting better and better. And so that's been the silver lining, is that he's becoming a little bit better. Obviously, I'm not expecting him to score 20 points for you often. No. But if he can kind of be that lob threat that he can become and kind of be just a guy who scores around the rim for you, like that's going to definitely help you out. I know Oral Roberts was a little undersized, and so maybe that's one of the reasons. But
sure.
Nonetheless, it was fun to watch him still did it. 23-12, so impressive performance from him. Chance McMillan also had a pretty impressive game. Another guy to shout out, 20 points. He was 8 of 9 shooting from the field, had a couple dunks. Pretty good games from him. Chance has just been awesome this season, so I want to shout him out. But any other basketball tidbits you got or anything?
No, I think Toppin will be back for this next game, or for that UCF game.
Yeah.
I think he could have went in this Oral Roberts game, but they didn't need him, so didn't want to push it.
Yeah. Lamar kind of makes sense. Get his feet back under him before you get into Big 12 play. I would hope that he's back, and then you're kind of back to your full team minus Devin Cambridge. And so up next, Lamar on Saturday, your final non-conference game, and then December 31st or 30th, UCF comes to town, and Big 12 conference play gets started. And so with all that said, that'll do it for our Texas Tech coverage for the week. Fun week with portal season, basketball kicking Oral Roberts' ass. But before we get out of here, as always, we like to do our final shots. Dustin, you have a final shot for us this week.
Quick high school football note. Munster's playing in the state championship right now, my hometown. And they're tied 14-14 with Shiner and almost halftime. They opened the game with an onside kick and recovered it.
Damn. I almost drank my Shiner cheer beer during this, but
would've hated that.
To celebrate the Red Raider club. And
so hopefully they can pull it out and win the second half.
All right, go Munster. My final shot, You know, we haven't had a chance to talk about the college football playoff yet, but the college football playoff has been decided. Of course, you got Arizona State, who's the 4 seed representing the Big 12 conference. You had Boise State as a 3 seed, which is one of my I don't understand moments. Alabama getting left out, SMU getting in. Everything was pretty kind of set in stone heading into the championship weekend. The only thing that was left to be determined was really is if SMU lost, would they fall out and would Alabama jump them in? And, well, turns out that they valued SMU fighting back in that game and got them in. And then, of course, now the SEC and Alabama and all of them are crying about not getting in. And we've got to change our non-conference scheduling, even though they lost all their games in conference to 6-6 Oklahoma and 6-6 Vanderbilt. And it's not Mercer or any of those other loser programs. So I don't know what you're I know we talked a bit off camera, but your thoughts on the inaugural 12-team college football playoff.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, a lot of hype. I mean, starting this Friday, Saturday.
I think Friday night,
you got home playoff games, so that part's going to be the cool, crazy part of it all. And, like, some big games. I mean, you got Tennessee going to Ohio State. That's going to be sick.
Clemson, Texas. Like, I mean, and Clemson's like, not that.
There's some big, good games and matchups on home campuses and middle of
Indiana,
December.
Notre
That's
Dame.
Really cool. Now, like, the seeding is probably jacked up now that we see the end result of one of these seasons. I mean,
needs to get fixed.
Like, it should just be straight up seeded 1 through 12.
Yeah.
Because no way that Arizona State and Boise State should both have a bye. Also, those programs would benefit way more to have a home playoff game this week anyways. So, like, there's that. But also, like, Texas should have one of these home playoff games. Or not home, like, the bye week. Yeah. And so should, like, they kind of got that screwed up. But it's fun. And then, like, having, like, Oregon get screwed with a, you know, perfect season. And it's like, oh, yeah.
You get Ohio State or Tennessee.
Tennessee, like, probably the best matchup out of this whole deal. Like, oh, great.
Yeah, the teams that are in best position are Texas and Penn State, who are the 5 and 6 seed.
Right.
Like, yeah,
like,
Oregon got
screwed that up a little bit. And
Or do what the NFL does and reseed it after, like, you know, higher seeds.
They do the first week,
Yeah.
After the first week, wild card, going into the second one. So maybe they do that coming up in the future. But, yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm excited for this weekend. It'll be really fun to watch all these games. But, yeah, I think my biggest things were, like, I don't get Boise State being so high for a team that didn't really play anybody, and they want to knock all these, like, strength of schedules or whatever, but they don't play anybody. They lose to the one good
80th.
Team they played. They're 80th in strength of the schedule, but yet they're higher than Arizona State. Like, obviously our Big 12 bias is going to come through here, but Arizona State's played a much tougher schedule than Boise State, and I just don't understand when we're bitching and complaining about strength of schedules.
Right.
Who SMU played and who Indiana played and everything like this, but we're just ignoring the fact that Boise State played Oregon and lost to Oregon. And sure, they played them competitively, but that was also very early in the year before Oregon's kind of figured themselves out. So I think some of that stuff will get fixed. I think they'll obviously kind of change things next year, or we're just going to do the highest seeds. Like, all I think the conference is scared about is having their one conference champion locked in and then seed them correctly after.
My Alabama deal was maybe y'all shouldn't have made the SEC so hard. Quit inviting everybody to your conference. Like, this would have been a way better playoff if we had these original conferences from like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, how this it should be set up regionally and not
like
these just super conference deals.
Yeah. One of your losses was to Oklahoma, who you maybe added to the conference. Like, you know. Maybe quit adding teams. And
the other one was to Vandy, so you should just got kicked out because of that.
Yeah, I mean, arguments for Lane Kiffin was annoying as hell. Like, oh my God, shut up. Like, win your games.
Yeah.
I know that's like a pretty basic argument, but like, win the games that are in front of you and you'll be in. Like, I'm sorry. And so I'm glad Alabama got left out. I didn't want to see like this just be all SEC and Big Ten teams, so I'm glad. I wish another Big 12 team would have made it, but the Big 12 is just too many good teams that can just cannibalize the conference, and Kansas knocking out three teams in a row didn't help either. So I'm excited for the weekend, though. It'll be fun to watch it and see how the first round plays out and how the first inaugural 12-team college football playoff plays out. So excited for all of that. But that will do it for us for the tailgate this week. Fun episode talking about transfer portal season, and hopefully things on that front continue for the Red Raiders.
Yeah.
We hope you enjoy the first college football playoff weekend. Lots of football going on. NFL games on Saturday now and Sunday and on Christmas Day. So it's just going to be football overload over the next few weeks. Don't forget about your family. It is Christmas. It is that Christmas time. So if you find yourself getting sucked into watching too much football, just remember family comes first sometimes. But other than that, hope you enjoy your weekend. Hope you enjoy your Christmas shopping. Hope you get all that done. Stay safe out there. Enjoy your weekend tailgates. And as always, we'll catch y'all at the next tailgate. Peace.